James 4, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 13. James 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain." Isn't that the mindset definitely the world has today? Right? But let's be honest, a lot of times that's the mindset we have, right? Tomorrow I'm going to go here, go there, do this, do that, buy, sell, and get gain. Make money, right? To pay the bills, do the things that we need to do. That's where our mind is a lot of times. But notice verse 14. "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life?" That's a good question to ask. "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say," here's what ought to be said, "if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the songs that's been sung, dear Lord, that speak to our hearts about Calvary, speak to our hearts about the day when we get to heaven and see you face to face. What it'll be. What a blissful moment, dear Lord, if we know you as Savior. But, dear Lord, if we don't, what a terrifying moment. What a tragic moment, dear Lord, to meet you face to face, to find out and to know then that you are, there's no doubt, real. And, dear Lord, that the gospel message was true. And how tragic it's going to be for many to hear those words, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Dear Father, I pray to this morning as we take and open your word, I need your help this morning, dear Lord. I pray that you touch my lips, my heart, my mind, dear Lord. I feel as Isaiah, "Woe is me." Dear Lord, I pray this morning that you would help me, that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would speak your word from your words this morning, dear Lord, to each and every heart that's here, including mine. Dear Lord, that we would be helped this morning and convicted and comforted from your word. Dear Lord, whatever the need is in each and every heart here this morning, I know each heart probably has a need of some kind. Dear Lord, I know. And I pray that whatever that is, that you would meet that need and you would work and draw each and every one of us to you and to your side this morning. And dear Father, as you speak to us, I pray that you'd help us to listen and obey and follow your Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. Help me. Help us all this morning, I pray, to be attentive listeners, attentive hearers. But help us not just to be hearers, but help us to be doers of your word. Help us this morning, I pray. Help me now in Jesus' name. Amen. You think about the last 2 weeks. I don't know about y'all. I don't keep up with the news like I once did, although I keep up with it as best as I can and as much as I can. And mainly if I keep up with the news, it's because my phone goes ding. And that's the best I can mock it. But it's that Fox News app sound going ding. And Kelly's sitting over there like, "Here it goes again, you know. Can't you turn that thing off, you know?" But that Fox News app, because there's breaking news, right? This person's done this or this person's done that. And especially last week, I had a couple of different times where my phone made that noise. I always, when that happens, my attention's drawn to it. And I look over there and I scroll down to see what the little caption is, if you will, and to see if it's something I want to look at or not, or dismiss. And two different times last week, well, many times, but at least two specific times when it happened, it was regarding two major events in the news that happened. And one of those, the first one, and I may have them in the wrong order. If I do, forgive me. You can correct me after service if you'd like. But one of them took place at a Walmart in Texas. And the number has unfortunately grew since that happened of the initial ones that died from it, as different things have happened, as some has been in the hospital and things. But from the research that I've done, when I looked it up again this week, there's been 22 different people that have lost their life through that incident there at the Walmart in Texas. And then there was, I believe, the very next day, my phone did the same thing again, and there was another shooting that had taken place. And this one was in Dayton, Ohio, where 9 people, is the last toll that I found, 9 people were wind up killed in a mass shooting at a bar real early. I believe it was on Sunday morning. And you think about how tragic that is any time anybody dies. Amen? It's tragic. But especially when I say anytime anybody dies, I mean especially in the sense of these type of incidents, these type of mass shooting things, if you will. It's always a tragedy. And our hearts go out, our prayers go out. You know, we feel sorry, if you will, for those people and for what they're going through. Our heart aches for them. And, you know, but unfortunately now it's almost become a common scene, hasn't it, to a point. I hate to say that, but it's like, well, there's another one. There's another school shooting. There's another shooting at Walmart, you know, or there's this or that. But yet it's really bad. You think about in the last 2 weeks, through these two major events that took place, 31 people died and lost their lives. And 53 people were injured. That's a lot of people. Amen? That's a lot of people. And you think about how tragic that is. And I hope nobody takes me wrong. I'm going to be very careful how I say this morning and try to say this honest and pointed, but yet try to say it not really politically correct, but kind of sort of to where nobody misunderstands what I'm saying this morning. The one at the bar where the 9 people died is horrible. It's horrible. But folks, those 9 people should never died. Amen? They should have never died. You say, why will you say that? Because that shooter shouldn't have went in? Yes, that's right. But I say it even greater because those people should have never been there. Amen? The only one that should have been there was nobody, really. But that owner should be sitting there with nobody there. You say, why? Because nobody needs to be going to that type of place, doing that type of thing, that early in the morning, that late at night, whenever it is. Those people were in a place they should not have been. And when you're in the places of sin, amen, this place at a bar is a place of sin. We ain't got no business being there, none of us, for no reason. You say, I'm going to the bar to witness. No, don't go to the bar to witness. Go to the drunk's house to witness to him. Amen. Get him up down at the Bilo outside on the sidewalk. Amen. Go get him somewhere else. Don't go to the bar to witness to him. You can catch him everywhere else in the world. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I'm simply saying those people, they were in a place they should not have been. And it's tragic, and what happened should not have happened. That bothers me, yes, because it was wrong, and it was tragic, and it should have never happened. But what bothers me even more, if you allow me to, hopefully you get the picture of what I'm saying this morning, what bothers me even more is those 22 people that lost their lives in Walmart. That bothers me even more. You say, why? Because I think about my family. I think about your family. I think about families all around this world that take and that's just going to Walmart. Shopping. I'm preaching about Walmart this morning. Going to Walmart shopping. And they taking and they're just going in there to get their groceries. They should be at Bilo, but we're not getting into that. They're in there getting their groceries. Getting their milk, for goodness sake. Getting their bananas. Getting their news TV. They're just in there getting their normal things that they need. Their toilet paper, their paper towels. Pushing around their buggy with their kids. Shopping. And maybe there was some in there like we do from time to time. Not too often. Where we say, we're bored, let's go to Walmart. Which is a mistake. Because you always wind up spending something. So you go to Walmart and you're just walking around. Just looking. Shopping. Seeing what you can see. Maybe even walking up and down every aisle. And if you're with me, you got to go down the toy aisle. Not because of me, but because of the other two. You got to go down it. If not, you're going to get a fit pitched, right? You got to go down the toy aisle. Don't necessarily buy every time. That's not really the big deal. It's you got to go look. Amen? Got to go look. Just like you ladies got to go to the clothes section and look. The kids got to go to the toy section and look. Amen? You got to go look. And no doubt there was people in that Walmart that day that was with their bananas and their milk and their toilet paper and paper towels shopping, getting the things they normally would do. But no doubt there were people there just looking around, walking through the toy section too. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, 22 of these normal, average people doing what you and I do probably once a week, every other week at least, go to Walmart, just shopping. And the next thing you know, they lost their lives. How tragic that is. I don't know about you, but that bothers and hurts my heart even greater than the first. Because here they were, just running the mill, doing their normal business. And the next thing you know, they lost their lives. And a lot of them injured, as I mentioned a while ago as well. But every time I see these things on the news or see them on my phone come across and I read them, it spurs my heart to think back to the Bible and about the truths that the Bible proclaims. And one of them we read this morning from James chapter number 4 in verse number 14, where it says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor." No doubt the lady that was pushing the milk through at Walmart in her buggy, or the man, thought, "I'm going to take this milk home and do what? Put it in the refrigerator." That milk never made it home. You think about this morning, a lot of times we say, "I'm going to do this and that." Maybe not even necessarily tomorrow, as the verse says, but today. But we're not even promised a full day today. The Bible says, "What is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You think about simply this morning, our lives are short as humans. That's a fact. We know that if we're honest. But we know that from what Scripture says right here as well. And anytime I see things like this, it draws my heart and mind back to, well, life's short. You never know. If you can't go to Walmart and get you milk without something like that happening, then folks, we definitely don't know in our day and time. Amen? In James' day and time, you didn't know. But especially in our day and time, I think it's even greater that we don't know. You think about the fact here they were and they lost their lives. Our human life is short. And I want you to listen to these questions, these two questions the Lord gave me, and think about them real strongly this morning and maybe even kind of jot a portion of this down. I'll probably read it twice. But the question is not, will my life be short? But how short will it really be? The question is not this morning, will my life be short? But how short will my life really be? Amen? The second question is not, will I die someday? But instead, how long do I have left before I die? The question is not, will I die today? Will I die someday? But instead, maybe, will I die today? You think about simply today, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 in verse number 27, a familiar verse of Scripture probably to most of us. It says in Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. In other words, every single man, woman, boy, or girl has an appointment with death. Amen? Life's short. And one day when our appointment with death comes, our life, this short life, will end. It's not, will I have a short life or not, because you will. But it's how short will it be. Some people only live to be a few months old. Some people only live to be a few days old. And some people live to be 100 years old. But you know what? That life's still short, ain't it? I could ask the oldest one of you in the building this morning, has your life seemed short to you looking back on it? And you'd shake your head. You see, I think about even my own life that way. Sometimes in the moment, it may seem like things drag, but looking back, things didn't drag at all. It went fast because life's short. You think about this morning, the question's not, will I die someday, but instead, how long before I die? Is today maybe my appointment with death? Or tomorrow? You think about the fact that we all have an appointment with death and will one day die soon unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and the rapture takes place. And then we're called out. Amen? To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This morning there's two types of people in this world. Two types of people that we can boil down to. Not red and yellow, not black and white. We're all precious in His sight. Amen. That's not what we're talking about. There's not, if you will, the American people and the rest of the world. No. There's two types of people really in this world today, and that's the saved and that's the lost. Those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and those that don't. That's the two types of people that is here in this world today. That's the two types of people that's in this building this morning. And you either fit into one of those two categories. You say, well, I'm half saved, half lost. No, don't work that way. Either you're saved or you're lost. Amen. You say, well, I'm thinking about it, getting saved. That's good. But you know what that means? You're still lost. You think about today, you're either saved or you're lost. There's two types of people. So with that in mind this morning, the title of the message is simple, and I look back through some of my notes, and some of y'all, if y'all take good notes, are going to look back and say maybe he's preached this before, but I promise you I have not preached this before, although I preached the same title before, but I couldn't think of a new one. The Lord just kept impressing this one on my heart. I ask you this question this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? I think this is a message that needs to be preached a lot. And there's a lot of different ways and a lot of different things that could be said about the fact, are we ready? Are we ready for our appointment with death? Are we ready for when our short life ends? Will we be ready? I ask you this morning, are you ready? There's two types of people in the world, and that's the way we're going to look at this thing of being ready this morning. The first type of person that there is in the world is the saved. Amen? If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
I thank the Lord that not by anything that I've done, my power or my might or anything good in me, that I fall in that category this morning. That I'm saved. That I'm in that group. Amen. That I'm in that type of person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'm a King's kid. I'm a child of God. Amen. I'm thankful for that. That no matter what I do, no matter where I may roam, no matter how far I may get away from the Lord, as I shared with somebody yesterday, no matter how bad I may break or hurt His heart at some point, with the awful things that I do, I'm still His child. Once I've come to know Him as my Savior. But everybody's not a child of God. There's two types of people. The saved that are His children and the lost that are not. They're of their father, the devil, the Bible says. I'm simply saying this morning, there's two types, the saved. This morning, for all that are saved, we know that when we die, we're going to go to heaven to be with the Lord forever and ever. Amen. We know that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, if you want to turn with me there. We're going to spend a lot of time in Corinthians this morning in different places between 1st and 2nd. Corinthians. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 8 is a good verse of Scripture. Actually, we could read verse 6 and 7, but we'll just read 8. It says, We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body. And for those that are saved, you can have confidence, amen, in knowing where you are going if you know the Lord is your Savior. For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Amen. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we're saved, we know that when we die, we're going to be absent from this body, but I know where I'm going to be present. Amen. I'm going to be present with the Lord. Why? Because of His present, if you will, of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the gift of God, amen, that He's given through the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You think about today, I'm glad that I know if my appointment with death was today, that I would wake up in heaven and I would be absent from this body but present with the Lord. Why? Because I'm saved. That why? Because I've been born again by what He did on the cross of Calvary and the work that He did in my heart and in my life. Amen. I'm thankful this morning that I am saved, that I know the Lord. I'm ready to meet the Lord when it comes to my salvation this morning. You think about, or the only way that you'll escape, I mentioned this a while ago, the only way that you'll escape the appointment with death is if you first know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and second, if you happen to, within God's will and sovereignty, be alive during the time when the rapture takes place, then you'll be caught out, amen, to be with the Lord forever, amen. You'll be caught out. You won't experience death, amen. Instead, you'll experience the glorious rapture, amen, of the church. And the Bible tells us about that, if you'll turn with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I know we're familiar with these verses, but I feel led we need to read them this morning in 1 Thessalonians 4 because there is many people that do not believe in the rapture. There's many people that think you've been saying that for years. That's made up, and that's not going to happen. Instead, God's just going to come back to this earth, and that's how it's going. No, there's going to be the rapture that takes place first. Amen. The rapture is real. It will take place. 1 Thessalonians 4. And verse number, 1 Thessalonians 4, and let's start in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, those that are saved, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow, those that are dead, if you will, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you're saved. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, that know Him, will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. I'm saying this to you this morning, church, because God's Word says it. There is a rapture, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, that would be those of us that are saved, that know the Lord, that's still living. Amen. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up. That's where we get the word rapture from. That's what the word rapture means, to be caught up, a catching away, with them in the clouds. And I like these next words, and I've marked them in my Bible, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I like those words, to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. In other words, for those that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that are alive at this moment, they'll be caught up. They'll be raptured out. You say, exactly how's that going to feel? And although I don't know about any of that stuff, I just know it's going to happen. Amen. That at that moment, when the trumpet sounds, when the shout takes place, we're going to be caught out of this world. We're going to be raptured out and go to heaven. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day when I get to meet my Lord face to face, like we sung about this morning. Amen. What a day that will be, as we sung about this morning, thanks to Calvary. Amen. You think about this morning, what a day that'll be, that meeting in the air that's in our other hymn book. You think about what a day that's going to be. But I ask you this morning, there's no doubt, if you're a child of God, that you will see Him when you get to heaven. That you think about, but the question this morning is, are you ready to meet the Lord if you're saved? I'm not talking about if you're saved, are you ready to go are you going to go to heaven? Because if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. We saw that just in these few verses and tons of others we could look at. But if you're saved, are you ready to meet the Lord? Because a lot of times, let's face it, we might know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and have, for lack of a better way of putting it, fire insurance. We know we're not going to hell because we're saved. But that's about where it ends. We're not ready to meet God. Amen? You ever been caught by surprise before? Especially some of you ladies care about this more than us men. Amen? But if somebody was to just take, if the president or somebody that you, or your boss person, boss man, boss lady at work, which some of us wouldn't really care about them, but if they were to take and to show up at your house unexpectedly, all of a sudden, you'd think, I wish you would have called and let me know. Amen? They was just to show up. You say, why? Because you want to get, especially you ladies, you want to get what? The house ready. Amen? You want to sweep under the refrigerator because somebody might see that dust under the refrigerator, right? You want to take and move around the furniture in the house. You want to clean the floors. You want to take out the trash. You want to put the dog up or the cat up. You want to take and do all these things, amen, spray some air freshener, right? Vacuum the carpets, whatever. You want to make sure that everything is right for when that person comes in that house. The same thing's true when I ask you this morning for the saved, are you ready to meet the Lord? Is your house in order? Is your house ready to meet Him this morning? Have you got everything clean, amen, on the inside? Is everything right? You think about this morning, are you ready to meet the Lord when it comes to your Bible reading? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Or instead, you'd say, well, Lord, wait till tomorrow because I need to get some of this dust off the Bible first before you come back. Because I only dust it off one day a week. You think about, how about, are we ready to meet the Lord when it comes to our Bible study, our Bible reading time? Are we ready to meet the Lord when it comes to our prayer time? Are we ready to meet Him? Do we have a daily time where we pray and read our Bibles and study and talk to God and He speaks to us? Like the song in the garden, amen, talks about. Do we have that time? Are you ready to meet Him? Or you'd say, hang on, I need to get my devotional time right first. My relationship that I have every day with Him right first before I meet Him face to face for the first time.